Les colloques du Collège de France.
Le deuxième orateur de la matinée, le professeur Tamer, est professeur à l'université Friedrich Alexander de Erlangen. Il a été avant professeur à l'Ohio State University et il a une longue expérience en matière de religion, de philosophie. Il a publié en 2001 un livre intitulé « Islamische Philosophie und die Krise der Moderne ». Il a traduit, et c'est un défi considérable, la Geschichte des Korans en arabe en 2007. Et c'est la raison pour laquelle je lui ai demandé de venir. En 2008, il a publié un livre intitulé « Zeit und Gott », donc « Le temps et Dieu », Hellenistische Zeitvorstellungen in der altarabischen Dichtung und im Koran, donc les représentations du temps hellénistique dans la poésie arabe ancienne et dans le Coran. Il va donc nous parler de la perception du temps, the perception of time in the Quran, et je lui cède la parole. Alors pour des raisons techniques, donc il s'adressera à nous du sommet du mont Horeb. Nous l'écoutons.
All right. Thank you so much for the invitation to be here, and I'm glad and honored to be among you. First, I would like to apologize for not being able to speak to you in French, although I was born in Lebanon, but it looks like I am an unorthodox Lebanese. But I'm sure you will be able to understand my 50-50 English. And to speak to you from this place for logistical reasons is like speaking to you from behind. So it might be a nice experience not to look to the face of the speaker, but to listen to it, to his words, just like prophets do when they are addressed by a god. It's nothing much new in that what I am going to tell you today, but I hope there is something useful. To gain insight into the perception of time in the Quran, it's crucial to comprehend the perception of time in its context within pre-Islamic Arabia. We have some ideas about this context, which are included in poetic statements. The orally transmitted poems from the 6th and 7th centuries AD were later compiled in anthologies around the middle of the 8th century. While the authenticity of their wording cannot be guaranteed in every case, extensive research has provided sufficient evidence to demonstrate how the Arabs perceived time prior to the advent of Islam. The pre-Islamic Arabic, the pre-Islamic Arab poets provide vivid depictions of time, encompassing both its broader essence and various durations. Within the poetry, an intricate vocabulary of time emerges, interwoven with realistic formulations that offer precise temporal references for specific events. Yet, in pre-Islamic Arabic poetry, time is not merely perceived as a passive framework for human actions. It is regarded as a dynamic force that influences the unfolding of the life's occurrences. It flows relentlessly, and its cyclical nature reveals itself through recurring periods. Within this framework, human existence transpires as a journey, ultimately leading to death. Consequently, time is closely intertwined with the notion of mortality. Throughout its passage, moments of joy and sorrow unravel, with time being perceived as the underlying catalyst. Misfortunes, death, and natural disasters are thus regarded as the ills that stem from time itself. Consequently, time becomes intricately linked to the capricious nature of destiny. While the term zaman for time as an abstract concept is seldom found in poetry, the concept of dahr encapsulates the Arab understanding of time before the advent of Islam. For a long time, the prevailing notion was that Arab poets referred to fate when employing the term dahr. However, my research has revealed that in pre-Islamic Arabic poetry, dahr primarily denotes time, time without a discernible beginning or an end. It represents a concealed power that holds sway over people's lives, serving as the wellspring of all occurrences, particularly adverse events. Dahr can be regarded as the Arabic counterpart of the Greek concept of aeon. Similar to aeon, which was perceived in the late antique Mediterranean as a force that turns times and consequently the circumstances of life, dahr too influences the vicissitudes experienced by individuals who find themselves unable to evade its influence. Dahr assumes the weighty characteristics of fate and can thus be comprehended as fateful time. Now let me present to you only a few poetic articulations of the pre-Islamic Arabic conception of dahr. I will read verses in Arabic and display the translation, the English translation for you. I hope it works from here. Yes, it does. Amr bin Qami'a said, جَنَّحَ الدَّهْرُ وَانْتَحَى لِي وَقِدْمًا كَانَ يُنْحِي الْقُوَى عَلَى أَمْثَالِي أَقْصَدَتْنِي سِهَامُهُ إِذْ رَمَتْنِي وَتَوَلَّتْ عَنْهُ سُلَيْمَى نِبَالِي. According to Amr and his fellow poets, dahr dominates the world and is a principle of arbitrary change in it, able to transform things not only in a negative, but sometimes also in a positive way. It plunders people. It is described as a merciless tyrant. It also has daughters, banat dahr. Their evil is inevitable. Here we have another verse. هَلْ لِلْفَتَى مِنْ بَنَاتِ الدَّهْرِ مِنْ وَاقِي أَمْ هَلْ لَهُ مِنْ حِمَامِ الْمَوْتِ مِنْ رَاقِي. This evokes a striking resemblance to the Moira, the three goddesses portrayed in the Homeric epics and later Greek literature. It also draws a parallel to the belief in assigning daughters to God, to Allah, as the Quran indicates too in Surah An-Nahl 16:57, وَيَجْعَلُونَ لِلَّهِ الْبَنَاتِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَشْتَهُونَ. And Surah At-Tur 52, verse 39, أَمْ لَهُ الْبَنَاتِ وَلَكُمُ الْبَنُونَ. In addition to a dahr, day and night, a layl wa nahar, aroused great interest among the poets. Day and night are perhaps the most captivating natural phenomena, each regularly following the other and clearly dividing time into a sphere of action and a sphere of rest. Their easily predictable cycle is connected with a regular interplay of light and darkness, often associated with mythological ideas. Their night appear in pre-Islamic poetry in the reversed order, night and day, al-layl wa nahar, according to the old Semitic lunar calendar, due to their perpetual return after after short intervals. They are called in poetry al-jadidani, the two always new, meaning that they are considered as being steadily renewed and that they appear to be constantly the same, although they perpetually change. At the same time, day and night are seen as a source of destruction, which even affects those who seem to be safe from disease and death. Here another verse from Buhturi's Hamasa: إن يسلم المرء من قتل ومن مرض في لذة العيش أبلاه الجديدان. Personified as two young men of time, Al-Fatayan or Fataya Dahrin, day and night are made responsible for evil in the world, especially for death. The famous poet Al-A'sha, actually known for his wine poetry, expresses this belief by adducing a parallelism between the agency of day and night on the one hand and the agency of manaya, that's the deadly fate, on the other side. He says, أَلَمْ تَرَوْا إِرْمًا وَعَادَ أَوْدَى بِهَا اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَقَبْلَهُمْ غَالَتِ الْمَنَايَا طَصْمًا وَلَمْ يُنْجِهَا الْحِذَارُ. In both verses, day and night are presented as an irresistibly devastating power that, in correspondence with ancient Arab legions, made past peoples vanish. Both periods stand in their alternation for the all-annihilating time. Against this intellectual backdrop, the Quran asserts in a remarkably profound manner God's absolute power, specifically by elucidating how God interacts with time. God's dominion over time is portrayed as both an expansive, limitless duration and as segmented periods. As rightly noted by Gerhard Bövering in his entry on time in the Encyclopedia of the Quran employs a diverse range of terminology to describe various aspects of time. This vocabulary is not systematically utilized to construct a comprehensive theory of time, but is rather employed contextually and pragmatically as the need arises. Consequently, time, which poetry depicts as a dominating force in human life, is deconstructed and fragmented within the scripture of Islam. Periods lose their inherent ability to exercise influence. Instead, they are subjected to God's absolute power, perpetually recreated by Him. The Quran incorporates numerous Arabic terms denoting specific time units such as yawm, day, sa'a, hour, each of them fulfilling distinct semantic functions. While a detailed discussion of these terms is beyond the scope of this presentation, I will explore the Quranic perception of day and night to exemplify how periods are employed to illustrate God's absolute power and his merciful nature towards humanity. Subsequently, I will present the Quranic concept of dahr. An important example of a way how God deals with times in the Quran is the alternation or the alteration of night and day, al-layl wa nahar. These are the most basic and most easily observed of the different time spans the Quran mentions. Unlike the biblical report, wherein God creates night and day and then allows them to run their course without further interference, the Quran has God actively effecting each change from day to night and vice versa. God directly causes their constant alternation as a sign, ayah, for mankind. So we hear it's not that one, but the ikhtilaf al-layl wal-nahar, the alteration of day and night, are considered as a sign of God's power. But the concrete actions that the Quran most often uses to describe God's direct influence on night and day are the following. Awlaja, which means causing to enter. Aghsha, meaning covering, pulling away. Naslakh, which means to skin, like a butcher skinning an animal, and turning over repeatedly, in Arabic, yuqallib, and turning or coiling like a turban, kawara. Kawara. And this is a very interesting verb, actually, to describe the change of day and night in the Quran. And we'll stop a moment here. This verb, kawara, yukawir, turning the turban, appears in this verse from Surah Az-Zumar 39:5. خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق يكور الليل على النهار ويكور النهار على الليل وسخر الشمس والقمر كل يجري لأجل مسمى ألا هو العزيز الغفار. This interesting verse is cited by some contemporary Muslim authors in order to maintain that the Quran had realized long before scientists that Earth revolves around its own axis, which is taken as a scientific miracle, and accordingly as a sign of the divine origin of the Quran. Sayyid Qutb also interprets this verse as referring to the spherical shape of the Earth and its rotation, which causes night and day, deducing from there the divine character of the Quran. But taking this verb into consideration before we looking at the context of the Quran, it's no more than taking a metaphor here from the daily life of the Arabs, having an Arab turning the turban around his head. So I think this is the miracle, taking the context into consideration and using understandable images in order to describe natural phenomena. The already mentioned verbs awlaja, aghsha, salakha, qallaba, and kawara describe concrete physical actions which create a sensually evocative image of God's perpetual creation over times. These five verbs also evoke the idea of cyclically recurring periods that, put together, form a linear, unified cosmic time. Time in the Quran is both cyclical and linear. The cyclical linear time has been created and will be ended by God, who also acts upon it directly throughout its existence. Time does not simply run into infinity, but it is oriented towards the Day of Judgment, which is called, mainly in Madinan surahs, Al-Yawm Al-Akhir, the last day. In addition to the alteration of day and night as a sign of God's power, which shall lead people to believe in Him as the only God, the Quran states that God created day and night because of His mercy towards mankind. And here we have a verse from two verses from Al-Qasas 28. قل أرأيتم إن جعل الله عليكم الليل سرمدا إلى يوم القيامة من إله غير الله يأتيكم بضياء أفلا تسمعون قل أرأيتم إن جعل الله عليكم النهار سرمدا إلى يوم القيامة من إله غير الله يأتيكم بليل تسكنون فيه أفلا تبصرون وَمِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. According to this passage, the alteration of day and night invites people to acknowledge that there is no other God except God. With their senses, they can perceive the cosmic order He created. He could have made the whole duration of the world to be unceasingly day or night. Each period represents a mode of life. The night is the time of repose, the day the time of activity. Out of His mercy, God has made both times for the human beings so that they can work and rest alternatively. Day and night are no more a cause of calamities, but signs of God's might and a result of His abundant compassion. Moreover, the perpetual recurrence of day and night causes man to develop arithmetic knowledge, like it is said here, Al-Isra 17:12, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ فَمَحَوْنَا آيَةَ اللَّيْلِ وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةَ النَّهَارِ مُبْصِرَةً لِتَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَلِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا. It evokes also faith with eschatological implications, like we read here, An-Naml 27. 83-86. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ فَمَحَوْنَا آيَةَ اللَّيْلِ وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةَ النَّهَارِ مُبْصِرَةً and so on. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فَوْجًا مِمَّنْ يُكَذِّبُ until the end. أَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ جَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِيَسْكُنُوا فِيهُ وَالنَّهَارَ مُبْصِرًا إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. So there are eschatological implications to be derived from considering day and night. By putting these cosmic phenomena in the service of human beings, the Quran supersedes the destructive agency of day and night in pre-Islamic Arabic poetry and offers cosmological evidence of God's mercy. Let's turn now to the concept of Dahr in the Quran. Dahr is mentioned twice in the Quran. In Surah Al-Insan 76:1, it is presented as an infinite time period in the sense of the far past. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. The expression حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ refers to an indefinite but limited period in the past before mankind or the individuals existed, which places that period outside the sphere of a human intellectual activity. So Dahr is no longer an active power of fate, but merely an indefinite time span about which humans cannot make any judgments. In Surah Al-Jathiyah 45:24, the pre-Islamic idea of Dahr as a lethal power is captured and rejected. وَقَالُوا مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرِ وَمَا لَهُمْ بِذَلِكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Here we have the pre-Islamic Arabic conviction that there is no other life but this worldly one, and that Dahr is the sole agent of mortality, which means denying the existence of an afterlife and therefore also the final judgment at the end of days. In reaction to that, in the Quran, the power of Dahr as an active force shaping human destiny, and in particular as the cause of death and destruction, is attributed only to God, of course. However, the unbelievers respond to this with a strong argument, challenging Muhammad to return their dead parents into life if it is true that there is a hereafter. The Quranic speaker commends the Prophet to reply to this challenge as follows. قُلْ أَللَّهُ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يَجْمَعُكُمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So, this verse affirms that God, not Dahr, is the only cause of life and death. And the day of resurrection will doubtlessly happen. Now, the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, is given as an alternative focal point of the conception of time and as an evidence for God's absolute power over all living creatures. On that day, on the day of judgment, a new quality of time is present, which requires from people an adequate performance, a performance of Islam, performance of submission. We read here Al-Jathiyah 45:27-28. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَخْسَرُ الْمُبْطِلُونَ وَتَرَى كل أمة جاثية كل أمة تدعى إلى كتابها اليوم تجزون ما كنتم تعملون. Here the temporality of human existence is placed in a new light and subordinated to the absolute rule of God. humans who, according to the pre-Islamic Arabic, to the pre-Islamic Arab view, humans who were at the mercy of the power of time are now presented in a kneeling posture before God on the last day. The final judgment, apostrophized as that day, Yawma Idhin, is unfolded like a foil against whose background the time of the world is to be perceived. In connection with this, do I still have time?
You are reaching the end of your time.
I'm reaching the end of time.
Yes, you are controlling time.
So, I love doing research on actually the reason of my suffering, because I suffer always under time. That's the problem. Okay, I will skip a couple of passages to go only to the conclusions here. I think this verse is clear. It does not need any explanation. But in another surah, that's it. Actually, I am at the end of my time. But to mention only one other term, which is al-asr, which is a period or the afternoon. There is the famous surah 103, wal-asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr. There is another reading actually attributed to Ali ibn Abi Talib saying, wal asr wa nawa'ib ad-dahr inna al-insana lafi khusr wa innahu fihi ila akhir ad-dahr. And it's interesting that Fakhreddin Razi, for example, rejects this reading, saying that it is impossible that God would swear by dahr in the Quran, because of the meaning Dahr had among the Arabs before Islam. In conclusion, the Quran portrays time as consisting of distinct and finite segments or specific temporal units. These segments are defined, accurately defined, and their progression is attributed to the divine agency of God, who exercises complete control over all aspects of time. While the Bible also recognizes God's absolute power over time, the Quran uniquely emphasizes this intensive dominion of time by God. In the Quran, time is subjected to the absolute power of God, who continually intervenes in its course. This intervention is depicted in a direct and masterful manner, employing vivid and sometimes forceful language. Such portrayal can be perceived as a deliberate response to the pre-Islamic concept of time, which the Quran sought to deconstruct in order to instill in the minds of Muhammad's audience a steadfast belief in God's sovereignty. I apologize for taking more than 1 minute for more than my time allows, and thank you for your attention.
Retrouvez tous les contenus du Collège de France sur www.college-de-france.fr.